paper chase.
Abstract number one. Videographic assessment of tracheal intubation technique in a network of pediatric emergency departments. A report by the Videography in Pediatric Resuscitation Viper Collaborative. And this is by Donahue et al. From the illustrious Annals of Emergency Medicine. So when compared with adult airways, pediatric airways are known to have lower first-pass success rates and higher rates of physiologic deterioration, usually in the form of a little bit of hypoxia, likely due to a combination of not doing airways in kids quite as often as we do in adults, differences in their basic airway anatomy, and differences in their physiology, little kids' physiology that predisposes them to things like bradycardia during an intubation. The value of video laryngoscopy is still up for debate, as the Cochrane meta-analysis, which included 12 trials and just over 800 kids, concluded that VL was associated with a higher intubation failure and longer intubation times, while observational data from the NEAR group, the National Emergency Airway Registry, showed superiority of VL and the VISI trial, which I think we covered a couple of months ago, which was done in the operating room, not the ER, but still on pediatric patients, showed a 5% increase in first-pass success rates and decreased rates of esophageal intubation when using VL in infants less than 1 year old, so little kids. So in this paper, we get data from the Viper Collaborative, which is an awesome name, Videography in Pediatric Resuscitation Collaborative. And if you remember when we were doing the paper selection, I said, when I hear Viper, it takes me back to my childhood, to like a reference from the 80s, from a cartoon.
G.I. Joe.
It was G.I. Joe. But do you watch G.I. Joe?
I was not a religious G.I. Joe follower, as you were.
Oh, I see. Yeah, well, I was a religious follower of every cartoon when I was little. I watched too much TV. So no, it was like this whole episode about the Viper. And it was this guy who would call and say, like, the Viper is coming.
The Viper.
5:45, like that. And so they thought it was something about Cobra, you know, like the,
of course.
So they would
but
go.
But it was really
so they
just
would like,
a videographer.
They would think to no, they would think about these clues, and they'd be like, "Where could it be?" Blah, blah. And they'd show up somewhere. They'd be like, "Oh, it's like a latitude, longitude, 5:45," and there'd be some Cobra base there. And then he'd call again and be like, "The Viper starts on the west," and they're like, "Oh, we got." And they like think about the west, and they find some other Cobra base. But in the end, it does turn out it's just a coincidence. It was just a window wiper. A wiper. He was like talking about wiping a building and the rest of it was all coincidence. The Viper episode. Kind of a classic G.I. Joe episode. Anyway, the Viper. We learned something today. So this is observational data from four different emergency departments where all resuscitations are video recorded, which is really cool, actually, examining three outcomes of interest. Number one, tracheal intubation success. Number two, time of laryngoscopy. And number three, occurrence of hypoxemia. The patients were categorized as infants if they were less than a year old, or children if they were greater than a year old. And a successful attempt was one in which the endotracheal tube was successfully placed in the trachea prior to removal of the laryngoscope. So sort of a one blade insertion. You could put in the tube a couple of times, but when you took the blade out, that ended the attempt.
Okay, so that's a little different than that study that you had just covered about the endotracheal tube versus the bougie, which was single insertion of a laryngoscope. And only one
that's
pass
correct
of whatever.
But this is much
thing.
More in line with what
right.
airway studies usually report.
Yeah.
So of just under 500 kids with video data, overall first pass success was 67%, and the eventual success rate was 97%. Median duration of laryngoscopy was 35 seconds, and hypoxemia occurred in 15% of patients. This was not a trial, right? This is observational data. VL was used in 48% of attempts, and it had no association with success or incidence of hypoxemia. VL intubations, they said they were a little bit longer than DL intubations, but when you actually look, it was 6 seconds longer. So it was just a touch longer. Some other interesting observations were that Apox was only used in 8% of cases, which is, you know, I looked a little bit. I didn't see a lot of data looking at Apox in kids. And I don't even know if I think about it when I'm in the pediatric ED quite as much. Maybe I do recently, but anyway, that was just, these are all pediatric EDs, you know, supposed to be the cutting edge and used less than 10% of the time. And adjunctive techniques like cricoid pressure, external laryngeal manipulation, lip retraction were very rarely used, which makes sense. That kind of goes with my pediatric intubation experience. So this is kind of a nice picture of the landscape of pediatric airways seen through the lens of pediatric emergency departments where they do this kind of stuff a lot. One thing that's really unique about this trial is the way in which the data was collected, this sort of video review, which they did talk about a little bit, and it did have excellent inter-rater reliability, very little missing information due to sort of poor quality clips, like somebody was in the way, they couldn't see something, basically almost none. Like the videos looked good, they got all the information they needed.
It's interesting, when you first said this, I imagined it was the video of the laryngoscope. But it's you're describing something different. You're describing a camera on top of the thing, given a bird's eye type view of what's going on.
Yeah, they have pictures of it in the paper. It does look like a bird's eye view. That's exactly right. Gotcha. So they could look at everything.
Right.
They could look at time, you know, the setup time, the hypoxemia, all that stuff straight from the video. It's actually a method I would love to see used in more studies of resuscitation. I recognize like there's, you know, privacy issues and IRB issues. And the way they dealt with that here was actually very interesting. They got consent from all these people or parents after the fact.
Mm-hmm.
They said, hey, we videotaped it. Is it okay if we review these things for the study?
So yeah.
That's, you know, one way for researchers out there who want to do this, or even if you want to do it for QI purposes, to think about handling it. The major limitation here is that as this was observational data and not a trial, we just don't know why one method was chosen over another for these cases, right? So saying they're, you know, definitely equivalent and VL might not have value in certain cases over others, we just can't comment on that at all. But for me, there are two really nice take-home messages from this paper. Number one, pediatric airways are hard, right? Even in a pediatric ED, where they do this stuff a lot more commonly than those of us working in general EDs, the first pass success was only 67%.
Let me stop you there for a second, because I've been thinking about this issue. I'm not convinced at all, and this may incite some pediatric emergency physicians, that they would be better at pediatric airways than we are. And the reason for that is that, a general ED doc. And the reason for that, in my view, might be that we do a lot of airways. As adults, you know, we muck with blades and tubes and troubleshoot all the time. And pediatric intubations are actually infrequent, even in pediatric EDs, compared with sort of how frequently we're just dealing with the stuff. So, you know, there's like a counterbalance. I have no doubt that they're more expert in the anatomic considerations of the pediatric airway, but that's probably offset somewhat by the relative infrequency of actually having to deal with any airway. Shoot.
No, I think that's a fair point. I didn't get into it. There's a lot of detail in this paper, actually. They do break down success rates by the type of intubator.
Sure.
So whether it was an ED resident, a peds attending, that kind of thing. And the ED residents actually did the best overall.
So that would tend to support my hypothesis, which is, in fact, completely a hypothesis. I understand that.
Yeah.
not a fact.
Yes, I think that's fair. But knowing that if you look at all people across the board, if you're not getting it on the first try, you have to call up to the NICU for help or something. Don't feel like it's a failure.
No, you know, I think that is a good message. Like, you know, yeah, if it doesn't work right off the bat, that's okay. It's going to work 97% of the time it worked, right?
Yeah. So that's probably the big take home message from this observational paper. And the second one for me is that they did not see a clear superiority of VL like other recent published studies have done. And I think that one has real meaning too, because if you sort of feel like, okay, VL is the way we're supposed to do it, that's kind of the standard, getting pediatric VL training, that's a lot of work, you know? So now there's a really big paper saying, oh, pump the brakes, you know, probably both are okay for pediatric. So I think there's two really nice take-home messages from good quality observational data.
Editor's commentary.
In this multi-site observational study, the authors did not observe an increased success rate when VL was used in pediatric patients. Overall first pass success rate was about 2/3, which validates just how difficult this procedure is, even at pediatric emergency departments. The fact that they did not see a clear advantage with VL is a meaningful message, suggesting we don't need to immediately invest in obtaining and training in pediatric VL. It's probably good to have as a backup, but at this point, I don't think it's a mandatory new first line.